Have you ever heard the idea, or like heard the saying, this idea, this concept that if you give your life to Jesus, then everything will be good? Have you ever kind of heard that idea? Like, hey, just follow Jesus. Just give your life to Jesus and everything will be rainbows and unicorns and butterflies, right? Yay! You see, if I were the devil, I would work really hard to actually get you to believe that. And not because here's the deal. If I were the devil, I wouldn't give up on you if you started following Jesus. In fact, if you started following Jesus, what I would do if I were the devil is first I'd really get you to believe this idea that, oh yeah, just give your life to Jesus. Everything's supposed to be great. Everything will be wonderful. But then subtly, I would work really hard to make sure that you are always feeling unsettled. Don't you just hate feeling unsettled? It is like one of the worst feelings in the world. In fact, to me, the two absolute worst feelings in the whole world, one is feeling unsettled, and two is that feeling that you're gonna throw up. Those are the worst feelings, and quite frankly, they're the same feeling, aren't they? I mean, like that feeling that you're gonna throw up, the mental gymnastics I will go through to like try to convince myself not to throw up, right? I mean, you'll negotiate with God, like, God, I'll give everything away, just don't let me throw up, right? I will give my house, I will work at church, right? Just don't make me throw up. it is the worst. I hate throwing up. I absolutely hate it. That feeling of unsettledness is just the worst. Have you ever had to have like a difficult conversation with someone and you prepped and you got everything ready, you did all the like the, all right, it's gonna go great, I'm gonna say it, and then you get to the end of the conversation and it didn't go at all how you hoped it would go? And I mean, I'll get to the end of those conversations and I, like, it's just the stirring that happens, right? That unsettled, like, what did I say? Like, why did those words come out of my mouth? Well, what if they just heard it differently? Like, why? Like, I'll lose sleep over this, this unsettledness. Like, don't you just hate feeling unsettled? That unsettled feeling that just something is off. Like, do you ever get that unsettled feeling in your belief in Jesus? We're gonna come back to that in just a second. We're in this conversation here that we're calling unknown. And this whole conversation is designed to talk about, to point out the lies that we believe and why we believe them. But more importantly, this is a conversation about who God says that you are. This is a conversation about your identity, about when you choose to step into a relationship with Jesus, he gives you this new identity, and God declares these things to be true about you. You see, too many of us, we spend our lives pretending to be someone that we were never meant to be. And pretending is exhausting. And so this conversation, what we're doing is we're looking at a particular passage in the Bible that we refer to as the armor of God. If you grew up going to church or, you know, to Sunday school, maybe you heard this as a kid, the armor of God. But oftentimes we then grow up and we never actually revisit this. We never actually relearn it as grown-ups. The grown-up version of what this piece of the Bible is actually talking about. And the armor of God, it is loaded with this profound truth about who God declares you to be. So we're continuing this conversation today in the armor of God. But before we go there, I just want to re-ask that question that I already asked. Do you ever get that unsettled feeling when it comes to your belief in Jesus? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I work at the church, and I get that feeling from time to time. Right? I mean, like we all know the things, right? Like if you've been to church for any amount of time, like we you know, you listen to the gabber guy up front here, right? Hey, here's what the Bible, right? You listen to, you read the Bible, like we know what it says. We know all the things. So why is it that I still feel unsettled from time to time with what it is that I believe, right? Like I believe that Jesus died for all my sins, right? I believe that Jesus forgives my sins, that he died for my sins. So why do I still feel like God gets mad at me when I screw up, right? I mean, like, what is that? Like, why do I still feel like that God would get angry with me? And what about this? Like, what about that mess up? What about that sin, that screw up in your life, that thing that you've never told anyone, that thing that you'll take to your grave? How could God not be mad about that? Right? Again, I know the things. I know like this idea that Jesus gives me a new life. He gives me this new identity that when I start to walk with Jesus, he gives me this whole new life. He declares these new things about me. So why do I feel like I can't change? Right? Like what is this? Like I know people, I pray for people, and why don't they change? Like, is it even possible for people to change? Right, you go back and you meet somebody 20 years after high school and you're like, man, you're just like you were back then, right? Like, can people even change? Is it possible? Like the person you've been praying for, and they're like, will they always be an addict? Right, will they always be a cheater? Will they always be a fraud? Right, Jesus transforms lives. Well, then what's going on here, God? Right, I know the things. We know that Jesus brings peace on earth. We say this every Christmas, right? This is who Jesus is. He's the Prince of Peace. He brings peace on earth. So why is it that it seems like the only way we can ever have peace is through violence? Right? I mean, if Jesus brings peace on earth, why is there so much evil in the world? Why do evil people just run wild and the only way to stop them is through violence? You see, if I were the devil, I would work really hard to make sure that you stayed unsettled in what you believe. In fact, what I would do is I would try to make good news, this good news of Jesus, right? I would try to make good news sound like bad news. Because bad news leads to bad identity. And a bad identity will always leave you feeling unsettled. So we're in this scripture, the armor of God. And if you missed the last couple of weeks, let me catch you up to speed. At the very beginning of this scripture, we learned kind of in the first week through this conversation that there is an enemy that we are in a fight against, in a war against, in a battle against, but our enemy is not each other, right? You are not my enemy. All right, our enemy is a spiritual enemy. It's the devil, demons, evil spirits, right? It's a spiritual enemy that we are in battle with. And the armor of God, these are pieces of our identity that God has given to us so that when we are attacked, we can stand our ground. Last week, we talked about the first two pieces of the armor of God. The first two pieces of our identity was truth and righteousness. We talked about this idea that truth is being able to hear and know the voice that is truth. That when you follow Jesus, you can now hear the voice of God. You can know his heart. You can know his voice. And that you become righteous. Righteous simply means right related, right? Right relatedness. That we become rightly related to God. And we now have the ability to be rightly related with each other. And this week, we're going to pick up the armor of God, looking at these next two pieces of our identity, the next two pieces of the armor. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 15, it says, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith," right? The gospel of peace and faith, "with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." The gospel of peace and faith. The gospel of peace and faith. These are the two things I want to focus in on this morning. The gospel of peace. I want to start there. The gospel of peace, what that like means, gospel means good news, right? That whenever you say, hey, it's the gospel, it's the good news. That's what gospel means. So it's the good news of peace, or to put it maybe a little bit differently, it's the good news that brings peace. When you step into a relationship with Jesus, like this conversation around Jesus, what it's designed to do is to bring you peace. That when you choose to walk with Jesus, you now have peace because you have Jesus. Jesus is the peace that God gives to us, that we actually have peace now. It's the gospel of peace. That's what the news of Jesus is meant to bring. So can I just pause and can I talk us through what the good news of peace actually is? When we say it's the good news of Jesus, it's the good news of peace, it's the gospel of Jesus, what do we even mean? In order to go there, we got to go all the way back because the story begins like this, is that all throughout all of history, we mess up, right? Like we screw up, not all the time, but we all make mistakes. Every person who's ever lived has always made mistakes, right? We say things to other people that break relationships. We hurt each other, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not, but we mess up all throughout history. If you go back as far as time, We mess up, right? We've always screwed up, and we're not perfect at this thing. And what happens is that we break our ability to be rightly related with each other, and we break our ability to be rightly related with God. I mean, this is why death had to be brought into the world. I mean, think about this. If there was no death, you and I would just keep living forever, breaking more relationships, hurting more people, right? Causing more violence, becoming more territorial with each other, right? Death had to come so that there could at least be like a reset with a new set of people, a new generation of people, right? Like death had to come into this world because of sin, because of our brokenness. We break relationship. But here's where the good news starts. This is where the good news begins, is that God will never give up on a relationship with you because you matter too much to God. That he loves you too greatly to ever quit on you. You see, that's who God is. And so God seeing this brokenness that we always have and we can't fix it. And every time we try to fix it, we make things worse. So what God does is he comes to earth as one of us, right? As a human being, he comes to earth as Jesus. He steps out of heaven, comes to earth. And what Jesus does is he shows us that we can live a life where we don't choose sin, where we can actually choose life. Jesus shows us what it looks like to be rightly related with God, to live rightly related to God, and to live rightly related to other people, so long as it depends on us. Jesus came and he shows us this, and the result of that, when you're rightly related to God, when you choose to be rightly related with other people, miracles happen. This beautiful stuff begins to happen, and good is brought into the world, and this is what we see in Jesus, that he heals people, he feeds people, he welcomes people. Jesus brings so much good into the world, and we killed him, right? Okay, we didn't kill him, right? You and I didn't kill him. This was 2,000 years ago, right? We didn't literally kill him, but that's what happens, right? Because let's be honest, anytime someone is doing good in the world, anytime like someone's getting a little bit of success or a little bit of notoriety because of doing good, we always find a way to get critical about that person, don't we? I mean, we always like, wow, they're doing so much good. I wonder what they're really trying to do. Right, we question their motives. Like, oh, they're doing so much good, but I can't believe they said that. I wouldn't have said it that way. I wouldn't have done good in that way. Well, ooh, they said something. That's not my opinion. We always find a way to chop the legs off people when they become a little bit too good or become a little bit too well known. That's what they did with Jesus. Because that's what we do when God comes into the world. That Jesus comes and he is put to death. We killed God. That Jesus got the consequences for our sin. The only one who didn't deserve them, he got it, right? So we put Jesus to death. But here's more good news, that in this wild turn of events, Jesus overcomes death. The thing that is supposed to end our sin, the thing that's supposed to kind of put a reset button, Jesus comes and he overcomes it. He puts death to death, so that you and I could have life. That Jesus, he comes and he actually allows us to be rightly related to God, to be rightly related with one another. He gives us this new identity, this new life. This is what Jesus invites us into, because God will never give up on a relationship with you. He allows us to be rightly related with God and rightly related with one another. And even though we will never get this perfect in the few short years we have on this earth, we still have the promise of eternity to live in right relatedness with God, to be fully known by God, and to fully know one another, to be rightly related to one another. You see, this is the good news that Jesus gives us, is that we're no longer defined by our sin, we're no longer defined by our brokenness or our hurt, we're now defined by this new life, this new thing that God is doing and has done in our lives. This is the news that is meant to bring peace. It's the good news of peace, that Jesus is this peace in our lives that we now have, access to, that it's this ability to live in peace because God gives us his Holy Spirit, right? Peace living within us, that we can actually live in this peace, our life. We can actually spend it living in this peace. And when peace is within you, it's what comes out of you. That we can actually be ready to let peace come out of us. We can live out peace. And you become this person that when others interact with you, that there's something different about you, that you're not like other people. And it's all because of this thing that Jesus has been working on the inside of you, this Holy Spirit in you. And people begin to recognize. And it's this readiness to be able to share that peace then, because when people ask you about it, because inevitably when you look different, when you talk different, when you act differently from other people, you get asked about it. And there's this ability to share where that peace came from. It's the good news that brings peace into your life. Which is why if I were the devil, I would do everything I could to steal your peace. I would do everything I could to steal your peace, to leave you feeling unsettled about everything, about relationships, about your circumstances, about your beliefs. I would always try to leave you feeling unsettled so that you wouldn't live in the good news of peace that is yours. I mean, is God really good? Really? Like we say it all, right? God is good all the time. Yeah, he's really good. Look at the world, right? It's pretty broken. Look at how messed up this world is. God looks really good, doesn't he? Yeah, sure he does. Right? God loves you, really? Does he really love you? I mean, really? I mean, look at you, right? Like, okay, he loves you, great, but does he like you? I mean, come on, you don't even like you, right? I mean, come on. God can't, I mean, sure. Like, okay, yeah, he loves you, but really, you? Does God really forgive you for that? I mean, you haven't even forgiven you for that. How could God forgive you for that? Are you really rightly related to God? I mean, come on, you're not even rightly related to your own spouse, to your own son or daughter, right? You can't even be rightly related to your own neighbor. How could you be rightly related to God? See, if I were the devil, I would do everything I could to twist and to leave you feeling unsettled about what Jesus has said to be true about you. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with from the gospel of peace, from that good news that brings peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. See, the devil will always try to steal the peace that you have in Jesus and try to leave you feeling unsettled. That's what he does, because the good news is a peace bringer. It brings peace into your life. The good news is a peacemaker, that when things are unsettled, Jesus steps in and can settle things down in your life, in your heart, in your mind. It's a peacemaker, and it's a peacekeeper. That the good news of Jesus, it's not like a quick fix, everything is done. It's this lifelong journey of walking with peace because you have Jesus every day, in every moment. This is the life that Jesus invites you to live with. So don't fall for the lies of the devil that the world is unsettled, so you have to be too. You don't. You can live with peace. You see, and when the evil one attacks, when that happens, this is now where you go back to the foundation, faith. This is where it all began, right? When you choose to follow Jesus, it takes faith to step into that reality, right? Because faith, at the most basic level, faith is simply trusting that Jesus is who he said he is and will do what he said he will do. Right? That's what faith is at the very beginning. That's what it means to enter into a relationship with Jesus. It's this trust that he actually is who he said he is and will do what he said he'll do. That's what faith is all about. That's what's in you. That's who you are. That's part of your identity when you choose to step into a relationship with Jesus. And what the enemy will do, and you know this, the enemy will twist your thoughts, make you, I don't know if that's really true, right? He'll twist communication, right? You meant to say it this way, but these are the words that came out, and now you hurt someone. Ah, I gotcha, right? They said it this way, but that's not how I received it. He'll twist your communication to try to leave you so that you're not rightly related with other people. He'll twist the experiences you have and twist your memory of those experiences. Have you ever had a really powerful experience before? Maybe a moment in worship a time where you're up at camp, a moment where you were at home and you were just praying and God spoke to you so clearly. Have you ever had one of those just powerful moments? And then you wake up the next day and it's just gone? Like, I don't know, was that even real? I mean, was that just being manipulated? Like, what was that? You twist. He'll leave you feeling unsettled. In our house, we in a hallway, we had a friend make us these kind of paintings, and on it, it says, don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you to be true in the light. Because that's what we do. God shows us these beautiful truths about who he is and who we are, and then it's in the dark times, it's in that darkness that those things get twisted, and we start to doubt who God really is and what he has already said. You see, Jesus is who he said he is and will do what he said he'll do. One of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is Colossians 1:19. Colossians 1:19 says that the fullness of God lived in Christ. The fullness of God lived in Christ. I love this verse. That if you want to know what God is fully like, if you want to know what God, like the fullness of God is, look to Jesus. If you want to know what God really thinks about you, look to Jesus. If you want to know what God will really do, what he's really promised to you, look to Jesus. The fullness of God lived in Jesus. Jesus is the fullness of God. And you can put your faith in Jesus because he's not only promised peace to you, he is the only one who has the receipts to prove it. Right? I mean, he's the only one who has all the evidence in the world to show that he actually brings peace into people's lives. We've got thousands of years of lives being transformed because of this relationship with Jesus, of people who in the midst of prison were able to find peace and settledness because of Jesus, people who were trapped in addiction and their life was turned around because of the peace of Jesus, that Jesus is constantly in the business of transforming lives, of helping us find transformation and find peace, that though the world may seem unsettled, you don't have to be. Because Jesus brings you peace. Can I tell you one of the simplest ways to find peace? The simplest ways to live with peace? To live with peace? Because that's who Jesus is, right? When you enter into a relationship with him, you live with Jesus. He is peace. To live with peace, one of the easiest ways to live with peace is to simply stop pretending like you have it all together. Is to stop playing the pretending game, right? Like everything is fine and dandy. And we're all guilty of this, especially when you come into a church space like this, right? Hey, how you doing? Ah, everything's great. And you're dying inside. We've all done that. But you see, with this beautiful thing that God allows us to do is to stop pretending. What I've come to recognize is that God can't work with a pretend version of you. It's a counterfeit. It's a fake. But the real you, the real you, the you that maybe can admit when things aren't going great, the real you that maybe can say that you're feeling a little bit unsettled. Yeah, there are these little fires going on in my life, this relationship over here, my job, this just things are not going quite right. The you that can actually be real with God, that's the version of you that God prefers. That's the version of you that God loves. And that's the version of you that God can work with. Though the world may feel unsettled, you don't have to be. You can live with peace because you can live with Jesus. I want to invite you to stand with me. And I what I want to do is we're going to just take a moment to end our service and sing a song of declaration of the good news that brings peace. We're gonna praise, we're gonna worship. And for some of you, as we sing this, this is gonna be your chance to just get real with God. Maybe it's been a while since you've actually had a conversation with him. And this is your time to do just that. For others of you, maybe there's just that little fire, that little something that's unsettled in you. And maybe this is a chance to just take a breath and resettle yourself on the reality of who Jesus is and what he's done for you. But I want to just take a moment and pause and worship this God who brings peace. to worship him together. So let's do that.